This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Thanks.
Who are you talking to, me?
Yeah, but
I didn't say anything was cool.
Anyway, what I'm doing here is pretty cool.
Okay.
Drinking hot coffee out of a glass.
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
Very cool. I don't need a mug. I think it's going to be like the new end thing. And it warms up your hands faster. And there's no reason not to. The glass can handle it. Okay. Why are we doing this? Plus, you can see your coffee better.
Why do you need to see it?
It's really cool to have a glass. It's kind of cutting edge. People looked at me around here like I'm weird, but they're the weird ones.
Yeah, soon they'll realize it's cool.
It is cool. I'm cool. Hey, if you're new to the show, my name's Brandt, by the way. Producer Sherry is here as well, but you may not know that we're going to be requiring listeners to wear listener uniforms pretty soon. We're working on it. And they're going to look really cool when you get them. And they'll get them in the mail and stuff, but you'll have to wear them. And it'll indicate your rank, the color of them, kind of like Star Trek Next Generation style.
And people have been concerned about whether they have to wear them all the time. And you've said...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right.
You will.
Hey, Brandt, this is Timmy. And I was just wondering about when we're going to get those uniforms, those skin-fitting uniforms. I really want one. I had a couple questions, though. You said we're going to get them at JCPenney, right? And who's picking up the tab on this? There's so many uniforms for all your listeners, I'm sure. You're picking up the tab on this one, right?
Well, Timmy, you're a little impertinent. young man.
I think that's a very good question. Very valid.
I don't have it all worked out, but I'm just saying JCPenney would be one of the outlets we use to distribute.
Yes, I get that. But Timmy is asking, when the person gets to JCPenney to get the uniform, are they going to have to pay for it?
Well, Timmy needs to understand rank, and you don't ask like the general, well, who's paying for our uniform? It's not even, you don't even get to ask.
I think it's valid.
You just go and you get one, and then you work that out. People act today like it's no big deal. This is a huge deal. Today, I don't understand. We just randomly decide to celebrate certain things. Today is 1-6-1-6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did you...
Let it sink in.
Okay. I think we have it, but what do you want us to do?
That's amazing. Well, just do something different. We'll just stand there like there's nothing going on, everybody. I don't understand why nobody gets worked up about this. It's once every 1,000 years this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Once every 1,000 years, and today is the day.
Yeah, but next year we'll have a 1-7-1-7, and the following year we'll have a 1-8-1-8, right? So it'll actually be once a year that something like this happens.
Well, let's make a big deal out of that next year.
You're talking about this year.
You're right. Actually, I didn't think about that. That's a good point. One thing that's so great about Jesus, we talk about Jesus a lot on the show, he actually says something that no other religious leader that I know of has ever said. And he's so much more than a religious leader, by the way. And this is one reason why. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Nobody else says that. I mean, most religious leaders, honestly, when they give you religion, they just give you more stuff to do. And there's no finish line. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you've grown up in a religious background like I have, like you could do this more, you could do that more, this other thing, and then you concentrate on that thing. Oh, now I'm forgetting to do this other thing. It never ends. And you feel like you have to prove yourself in the back of your mind, prove myself to God some way, somehow. And here's Jesus saying, I can get you off of that merry-go-round, and I can actually let you lie down and sleep in peace and know that you're okay. That's utterly unique in human history. There's something very different about this Jesus. This may have happened to you. Somebody called Sherry yesterday. We were just talking about this off the air. And it was asking about going to work for somebody that Sherry's worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting your honest opinion.
Yeah. And can I say what my honest opinion was?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But I didn't want to say that because I wanted to be fair to the to the person.
I think sometimes it is being fair.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think kindness doesn't mean
lack of truth.
Because you'd be dragging your friend into a bad situation.
That's
like
true.
You got to be kind to the friend too, to tell the truth about your old boss, your
right.
old person you work with. they're still one. That's the thing. People aren't all one or the other.
Good point.
Right? I mean, there's something laudable in this person's character that you mm-hmm. worked with or for that you never want to work with them again. I've had to say that to people, too. Like, you know what? This person's got this that's good, that mm-hmm. that's good. Totally admire this, but I'm not going to work with this person again because it was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
It was the screaming that got me. But I mean, it's just, I think
that's be, true, though.
Honesty is kindness in many cases.
It is.
I think the problem is the condition of the heart always.
Mm-hmm.
Are you motivated because it makes you feel better to go off on this person, or genuinely saying charitably to this person, look, you don't want to be in that situation?
I guess that's it, that I always want to be evaluating my motives as much as possible.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's the struggle.
Yeah.
But that's good grief to not tell somebody. Boy, you got to tell them. Maybe you can relate to this. I don't know. I'm one of those truth people. I like the truth. I like logic. I like facing the truth, whether I agreed with it before or not. I like, you know, digging to the bottom of the truth, like taking a stand for it. All that's part of my character. You know what's hard, though, if you're like me, is you meet people. They might be part of your church community or potential friends or something. You know what? You're going to get to know that person, and you're going to disagree with them about something. Something important. It is going to happen. Been married a long time and love my wife dearly. We agree on so much, but we'll always find something. It's just a matter of time. I got a friend I really look up to and think is hilarious and smart and all this stuff. I really enjoy his company. Well, he sent me a book and I disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hilarious because it's like we finally found something we disagree on. It's about a matter of history,
mm-hmm.
like something that happened in history. I love that because he'll challenge me on it. I get to challenge mm-hmm. him. But here's the thing. The temptation is to walk away from people, to walk away. You join with a group of people. Maybe it's your church community. You find out, oh, this person doesn't agree. It's just a matter of time. And then the question is, are you going to leave? The problem is, if you're always doing that, you'll wind up a very lonely person. You're going to be right, and you're going to be right by yourself. Hey, look, we all like to be right. Right? Of course we do. I like to be right. You like to be right. We like to say things, hear ourselves say things, hear ourselves say right things.
Applaud ourselves, pat ourselves on the back for being so right.
I am no different, but maybe this will help if you're like me. It's something I've learned the hard way. And that is, when I hear somebody I respect say something I disagree with, it's almost a little exciting to me now. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to get angry about it. If it's someone I respect that I know, wait, I've trusted this person's judgment and other things. Actually, I'm thinking, you know what? This could be an opportunity for me to investigate and possibly change my mind and possibly grow.
Mm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Somebody I respect says, oh, I haven't thought about it that way. Instead of just dismissing it out of hand, you're wrong, I'm done with you. I'm generally like excited about it.
Because how else are you going to grow and mature if you are just always the right one? Like if you're never open to the fact that someone else is saying something that may have some merit, how do you grow?
Right. And God uses people. That's the thing too. It's like, well, he'll tell me there'll be a pillar in the sky or something. He uses his people all the time to do things, including you, to speak truth in other people's lives. But man, I got to be humble enough to go, hey, maybe I'm being taught something and that could be good. If you ever, you may not want to, but if you ever do, want to call us, you can leave a message too if we're not available. But we love this. Listen to the voicemails too. It's 855-90-BRANT. Here is a call from someone who is clearly my people.
Hey, Brant, Sherry, this is Matt. Give you some information to hopefully help you convince Sherry and others that driverless cars can be a thing. So apparently in testing that's been done in California over the last few years, they found accidents at double the rate of human drivers, but every single accident has been determined to be the fault of the human around the driverless car, not the driverless car itself.
Yep.
I guess it's because the driverless cars are following the law strictly to a T, including speed limit, and it's annoying the humans on the road. But theoretically then, if every car on the road was driverless, then there may not be any accidents.
There wouldn't be any accidents. Think about this, how wonderful this would be, the morning commute.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having humans driving or in the car, no humans in the cars, there'd be no distractions at all. So it's just driverless cars, no passengers, but the morning commute would be, like, you'd still have traffic jams.
Right.
But everybody would be, all the cars would be behaving the law.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't be the accidents that we normally have.
So where are the cars on their way to? If there are no humans in the cars, why do we have a traffic jam? Where are the cars going without us?
Oh, no, we're just sending out cars.
Where?
To do our morning commute. But there wouldn't be any accidents.
But so, where are they? Okay.
Well, just because we need to have cars on the road.
Why?
We're sending out cars.
Rant.
Because cars. Because cars, Sherry. Because cars. You know, any dad understands this. There might be some female people who don't realize what it's like. When a guy changes his hairstyle or his facial hair or something dramatically, people feel okay about saying, oh, gross. What'd you do? Brian Urlacher grew hair. This is an NFL guy who was known for being bald.
I heard about that. I haven't seen the pictures.
It didn't look bad, I don't think, but it's just, it's a trending topic. Like, ooh, stop it. Whenever you change, like any dad who comes home or shaves his beard, comes out of the bathroom, and the kids and mom are like, oh.
Maybe it's because guys don't change their appearance as much as women do. So we're constantly getting different hair, different makeup, different clothes, where guys are typically pick a look and stick with it. So it's more shock, maybe.
I just surprised people chime in about it. Like, I would think you'd be like, well, I'm not going to say that you look worse.
Right.
But with guys, you're like, no, I will. I will. I'm going to say you look worse. I was teaching a middle school Sunday school class, and I shaved.
Okay.
I don't normally just have stubble.
Mm-hmm.
Shaved it, walked in. Ooh, you're ugly.
The kids said
that? It literally said that.
Well.
And it hurt. I was going to say it didn't, but I'm still talking about it. It's been several years, so maybe it did. This is pretty amazing. This dude has so many credit cards. Like, to me, if you have four, I'm starting to wonder what's going on.
Okay.
I don't know. How many do you have?
I have two.
All right. Yeah. I think it's pretty normal.
Okay.
This dude has 1,497.
That's a little excessive.
To me, it seems that way as well. Like, how many credit lines do you need? Because you could use. But also, he has a wallet that weighs 38 pounds and stretches 250 feet, and it holds about half of his credit cards.
Okay.
Walter Kavanaugh is his name. And he says, I have credit lines equaling $1.7 million.
Okay, so, Walt.
Here's my thing. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would pay him money to call in the Dave Ramsey show. Because I want to hear that.
What Dave has to say about that. Now that's entertainment.
Yeah, I just want to say, what do you think about this, Dave? I got 1,497 credit cards. What now, Dave? What are you going to do about it? I know this is kind of weird, but I was thinking about it because it was Robert Duvall's birthday yesterday. He's a very famous actor. But it popped in my mind because I actually got a chance to interview him a few years ago about Jesus.
Mm.
And I wish I had the audio. I'm sorry, I know. Should have got that before I started yapping about it. But I asked him what he thinks about Jesus because he had done a religious film. He's done a couple. Just a brilliant actor, Robert Duvall. He's been in The Godfather and all that sort of stuff. But he said, I'm not into all the Son of God stuff, he said, but I'm really into his teachings. I think his teachings are right on. I just don't, all the miracles, all the Son of God business, I don't go for that. The tough thing is, and what we were talking about, is like when you start reading the things Jesus actually taught, it is that Son of God stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, it's really difficult, and I totally respect his opinion on it, but as I'm reading through it, like, he's making these claims about himself. He's saying, not only, he's not saying, I'm pointing to the way, you should live this way, that's the way. He's saying, I am the way. All these claims about himself, I mean, and they're tied into his miracles, his healings and whatnot, and that's how he proves who he is and that God is here. Jesus didn't leave us a whole lot of room to say, oh, I just like the way he teaches, because, man, the way he teaches is miraculous, too. You may have been upset about the thing I said about brownies. I took a stand and said stop putting nuts in them because there are people who don't like them. So,
and boy, did we get call after call after call.
Inundated with calls.
Hey, Brent, this is Tim. I like nuts in my brownies. I'm sorry that you don't.
This is Nisha. I love nuts in my brownies. Walnuts or pecans, but those are the only ones.
My name is Linda Warner. Every good brownie maker knows to make a batch of plain along with the ones that have nuts.
Yeah.
That's my sister.
Okay, and I totally appreciate that. here's the thing. Like, yeah, we'll make a batch. That's like the mushroom people on pizza. when you order pizzas, they will get one with, one without.
Yeah.
And then the people who insist on having them will eat the one without. And then when you want some, you don't like mushrooms, guess what's left?
That's why, because so I'm a no mushroom person.
Yeah. That's what they do. And then the nut people, let's make one and then one. And then, but then they'll eat. They'll eat yours first.
The nutless brownies,
right.
And then leave you with
one. We know what you're doing. Make no mistake, mushroom and nut people, we know exactly what you're doing. Special website for you if you're interested in doing this thing we've been talking about called MediShare. You hear us talk about it here on the podcast. It's just biblicalhealthcare.com. It's biblical in that it's people sharing each other's burdens. That's why it's a beautiful thing, and it works, and it could save you a whole lot of money. That's why we keep talking about it and letting you know. Hopefully, if you do it, it winds up being a huge blessing for you. But anyway, just go check it out. See what you think about MediShare. It's biblicalhealthcare.com. May save you tons of money. You may have heard us yesterday. We're talking a lot on the show about weight issues and struggling with that sort of stuff. One thing is, look, if you spend holidays with your family,
it's tough. Struggle is real.
Yeah, because they're, a lot of them aren't neutral on whether or not you eat.
Mm-hmm.
They're like,
no.
They want you to eat this thing, this pie, this whatever. Like, I want you to eat it.
And they're offended if you don't.
Yeah, so that is a struggle.
I get that. I mean, I come from a Hispanic family, and food is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I totally get that. Like, when my grandmother's like, no, come on, have another plate. Have another plate.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's everybody's grandma, though. I mean, it's probably different food being Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandmas, that's what they do to you.
That's
true.
And
they just take joy in watching you get huge. Just revel in it. Just cannot wait to be looking at you going,
she's healthy.
Man, what a chunky.
Look at my plump. That's my grandma used to say, plump.
Yeah.
So plump.
And proud of it. Just like, I'm so glad. All my grandkids. This is the time of year, and maybe you noticed this, the militant juice people come out. And what I mean by that is, I totally respect them and appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to eat healthy too, but a lot of people get juicers for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're making it and they really want you to drink it.
It's not just for them, it's for all of us now.
Yeah, and they really want you to drink it. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
No, try it. I've just made it. It's got this and that. I don't want it.
It looks like something from the swamp, but go ahead and try it.
Right. Yeah.
Hey,
The problem is, militant Jews people, like, I even like healthy food, but the problem is, if it's so concentrated, you want me to knock down that Dixie cup full of green stuff. That has major ramifications on a human body that's not used to that.
Mm-hmm. That's
true.
Yeah.
That's true. I've been there. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You know what I'm talking about. Like, it tastes just like grass. Have it. I know, but I don't... Never have I wanted that. Maybe you've seen Creed. I haven't seen this yet. Have you seen Creed?
I have not. I heard it's wonderful, though.
I heard it's good. The first Rocky movie was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
the other 11 were not as good.
I like the one with the Russian guy. I like that one.
You
that
did?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I must break you and all that. Drago. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... There's a line in the first Rocky movie, I didn't catch it, but I heard Tim Keller talking about this, where he is asked, you know, why are you doing this? Because he's pushing himself so hard, he's drinking all those eggs in the morning, he's chasing chickens, running through Philadelphia, you know, freezing to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I need to go the distance to prove that I'm not a bum. And you can tell it's to prove to himself, I'm not a bum. Because in the back of his head, he's thinking he's a bum.
Mm-hmm.
And I... can totally relate to that. I bet you can too. Maybe you can't, but I bet most of the people listening can, and maybe it's you too, but in the back of our mind, especially when it comes to, I really feel like we got to prove ourselves to God. You can be raised in church, and it might be especially strong, that sense that I have to prove myself. Other people who aren't raised in church, they still feel like they have to justify their existence. Like, I've got to prove myself to somebody, some audience out there. Maybe it's my high school classmates from years ago or something. There's just some audience in your head. I got to prove myself. Jesus says, and we talked about this earlier in the show, but Jesus said, I've come that you can have rest. I've come that you can have life. But he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. And what a relief. Like, he doesn't think I'm a bum. How wonderful is that? I don't have to prove myself to him. Check this out. This guy... he cycled this year. He just finished. He cycled on a bicycle 75,000 miles this year.
Where was he going somewhere? Or is this?
It's just to set a record. So we did 200 and some miles a day.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. And that troubles me because that's really amazing.
Okay.
And if I had done that, I'd be like, I finished. And I don't want people standing around going,
okay.
I want more. I want more than just like, okay. All right.
And what else?
And because after 75,000 miles, I want
pomp and circumstance, right? Yeah.
I want more than what I'm giving you. Because all I'm doing is going, all right.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.